Last week, I'm on page 37. Last week, we were learning the meaning of Tamimus. Tamimus, and the Rebbe, the Piazetzna says that aside from working as we have been until now on our way of thinking, our way of understanding things and perceiving reality, he said that last week we were learning that even if a person expands his way of thinking, and even if a person develops this new way of approaching things, nevertheless, Chayis Mashal Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the seal of Hashem is truth, and therefore, if the person is not an Emes Dikah, Tmimus Dikah person, he was talking about this mid of Tmimus. We were talking about that, like a child, what Tmimus means, and being able to look at things and speak to people with one's nefesh, as opposed to always making a cheshbon with one's mind, what to say and what to do. So if a person is lacking in this mid of tmimus, so then regardless of how much he's struggling to expand his way of thinking, he's far from Hashem, because Chayis Mashkalosh Baruch Hu Emes, the seal of Hashem is truth, and this person could be living a life that's entirely dishonest. As the Rebbe will say, it doesn't mean that he says Al Eitz Shehu Evan. He's not a liar to say that the tree is a stone. He's not a liar. But his way of looking at things is always tainted with sheker. And we're explaining more what that means on page 37. Because since the Rebbe was saying, we were learning last week, that in that way, like a child, the child always responds. The child will always respond to any situation or to any question. A little child will always answer with his nefesh. He's not making a whole cheshbon. What will the person think? What impression will this make? How will I be viewed? But the child is simply responding with the answer that's coming from that place of who he is. So the Rebbe understands, obviously, that adults cannot be foolish, and certainly that can get a person into great trouble. Right? You know, if everybody would say, as we were talking about last week, would just say what they're thinking, what they're feeling. We had a long discussion about that last week. Obviously, that's not what the Rebbe means, just to say what you're thinking, because, as I explained last week, the nefesh of a Jew, the inner essence of who you are, also does not want to insult another person some ridiculous comment. So, therefore, we have, even in halacha, built into halacha, there of course are times when a person is able to exaggerate or to say things that are not completely honest in order to preserve good relationships and so on. But on the bottom of page 37, the Rebbe is beginning to explain more practically of how we should learn how to speak, how we should learn how to act. Reish is kol, page 37 on the bottom. Reish is kol, tan de beritzinus, ernst. Kashem levavcha betmimus opashtus. When somebody asks you something, when you're responding to something, the beginning is to respond in a way that's ernst. That's poshut, that's simply not convoluted. It's simple, it's not convoluted. The point of your seichel in that response is the seichel, the intellect must be used as a means, the seichel must be used in order to weigh and measure whether or not there is some mistake in the response. In other words, the intellect is there to determine whether this is true or false, whether or not there's a mistake. But as far as how you respond, that has to be with an ernst geit, that has to be in a simple way, in a way that is poshut and that is tamim. Avol gam sichel chazei yeh poshut uritzini. And the seichel here, the intellect should be secondary. The intellect should serve the purpose. The intellect here must serve the purpose of the tamimus, of the emes. So therefore, the seichel itself has to be, he says, min kli shimush yeh sichlecha l'shamish es ritzinius upashtus libcha. The seichel is merely a kli, a vessel that must be that's being used in order to serve the needs of the simple pashtus and tamimus of who you are. In other words, not that every single thing that comes your way, the Rebbe is saying that your seichel takes over, because the seichel is always in that place of the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. The seichel is always with Milik Hashbainus. Right. So there's somebody that you meet on the street and you haven't met in a while, and instead of being simple and poshut and tmimizdik and being happy to see him and expressing that happiness, you're making a cheshbon who this person is, what can I gain from this person, how should I react to this person, what would he expect to hear from me after this amount of time, what would be advantageous for him to hear from me, and so on. The seichel gets lost in the Eitz HaDaas Tovara. But he says, really, the seichel is there to serve the pashtus of the heart. Lazorla, to help the heart, ulaytziel apayel, and to be able to enable the heart to be activated. Now, if you find that the simple, honest response could cause you problems, right? Like your boss or somebody's asking you for something. And you realize that if I say that if I'm going to be tmimistic and I'm going to answer with my nefesh, I'm just going to talk straight. That this is going to cause a hezek, it's going to cause damage. Or it's going to cause some other problem by answering in such a way. Then timer any day. Then say it. I don't know. Say I don't know. Kmitzvus Chazal. As Chazal have commanded, but don't try to make some convoluted, twisted answer that's missing completely in anskite, ritzinus, and seriousness, and in pashtus. Remember the mice I told you where when a person says I don't know, it could bring a yeshua. There's a mice that I said here in shul that was told over by the tzaddikim. It's an old story. It was told by the tzaddikim that there was in the Middle Ages it was a very common practice to engage the Jews in debates with the clergy from the church. This never worked out well for us. We always try, even though it wasn't because we didn't have what to say. It's because you can't win, right? You can't win. If you look good, there'll be a pogrom. If you look bad, there'll be a pogrom. I mean, there's nothing. There was no way to win. Now that's basically the story of our history also. So it wasn't advantageous to get involved in these things, but we didn't have a choice. So there was such a debate that was being staged in a certain town, and what happened was they came to the Jews were told that they have 24 hours to choose their representative, and the terms of the match. The terms were that whoever cannot respond, the first one who's unable to respond to a question of the other, will be killed. So there was a huge commotion. They went to the Rav and all the leaders of the city, and there was a whole tumult. What to do? The Rav felt in his Rebbetzin that it's impossible. He was just too old, and he had been in these things before, and he just couldn't take any more. The lachatz, the pressure of being in this whole thing. And nobody wanted it. It was a whole tumult. So the ma'ase is that there was a yid there. There was one of the shamashim from a simple Jew from the shul that he volunteered. And people said, "What are you talking about? He's a guy's an idiot." So, but the Rav said, "You know, he's an erlich. He'll have siyata d'shmaya. He's very frum. So he'll have siyata d'shmaya. Hashem will help him." So sure enough, they went to the debate. And the church with all of its leaders, they're sitting on one side, and the Jews are terrified, sitting on the other side, because they'll be killed, there'll be a pogrom, be tsaros. So the church couldn't believe that they sent such an amharis, you know, to represent the Jews sent such an amharis to represent them. So the ma'ase was brought down by the tzaddikim that the bishop said to this little yiddel, whatever his name, Yankel. He says, you know, the bishop was laughing this whole thing, and he said, you know what, you can ask the first question, which is very generous of him, because he's ridiculous. So you know, in those days, the members of the church, the clergy, they generally were the only, they knew Hebrew, they were familiar with Hebrew. So the Yidl asked, he says, how do you translate, he asked in German, so he said, how do you translate, Your Excellency, how do you translate the words "Eini Yodea"? So the bishop said in German, you know, "Chweisnish." He said, "How do you say it in German? Ish, whatever it is." I don't know what they do. So he says, "Chweisnish." So everybody starts screaming, and they send soldiers. They killed the guy on the spot. He said, "Echmeisen." He says, "I don't know." So the whole Olam thought, everybody thought that, that the bishop didn't know. This little, and it was a busha to the church that this little Jew is the kasha right away. And the guy and the bishop doesn't know. He says, "Echmeisen." So they killed him. So they all carried the yid off on their shoulders, like a veldige thing. What a yeshua! What a brilliant hamtzah, like to do such a thing. And they carried him to the shul with the rav, and everybody sat down there, and they made a whole spread. And the rav asked him, "Your uncle, how did you think of that?" So he says, "Rabbi, it wasn't so hard. I was learning chumash with ivritaych, not with the yiddish. And it said something here there in Rashi. Rashi says any yedaya, and the taych was." And it says Echreisnish. So I figured, if that guy that's translating Rashi didn't know what that means, then for sure this guy's not going to know. So I thought that's the hardest thing I could, ask him. So the tzaddik that told over this maise, it's a gewaldige maise. So the tzaddik that told over the maise said, from here we learn that ein yodea bringt a yeshua ochet. That when a Jew says I don't know, it could bring a big yeshua. It saved that whole city. It saved him. When a Jew says "Eini Yadeya," so what the Rebbe is saying is that instead of being convoluted, to be complicated is the Etz Das Toivera. To go in a way of pashtus, to be simple is the Etz Chaim. To be simple. So it comes if a Jew does, if you see that you're going to have to make a whole, now at work obviously this is almost impossible because to a large extent one's job might depend upon. We're learning Hilchos Ainoa right in the morning. It's very difficult, but certainly. To try one's best, and there's no question that in relationships at home and with family and friends, that one can focus on this pashtus and on this tmimus. And if it's going to be something which is a whole pilpul, then better to say, I have to think about it. Or I don't know. Page 38. There are many obstacles on the way of a person who is trying to become more tmimistic, more simple, and more ritzini, more ernst, more sincere. Ritzini here doesn't mean serious, it means sincere. To be more sincere. L'moshel, yesh min ani, for instance, he says, this is a major obstacle in the path of a Jew who's trying to be more sincere. L'moshel, yesh min anivas meruma. There's something that's called false humility. Shehayish botel lefnei ha'olam v'nimusav. This is the most common and the most destructive obstacle. That this false humility means that the person sees the world and he looks at the world that the world is extremely chashuv with society's mannerisms and with certain expectations that society has of a person and so on. And he's mevatel himself in ganzen. He nullifies his own personal deepest way of thinking and acting before the accepted social norms and mannerisms. And all of this is with a false humility. Is who am I? If generations before me went mixed swimming, then who am I to disagree with that? You understand? I mean, where does this go? Who am I, even though a person wouldn't necessarily verbalize that, but the fact that a person sees himself in this regard is nothing. It's always amazing because it's Davke and Yiddishkeit. In every other respect, in business, this guy could be like a lion. And everything else, he can be fierce and independent. But when it comes to emuna, and perhaps it comes from try to be Donald Kavskuster because he feels so insignificant in his Yiddishkeit because he knows that that's really a great, amazing, big thing. So Davka, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, all of a sudden the person says, "Listen, this is I don't know, and I see that this is what people are doing." So you'll have like weird things, like somebody, something could be beferish in Shulchan Aruch, all over the place in Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, everywhere. And somebody will say, "Well, I saw Rabbi Moshe Kapoya from Long Island. I saw him do that." Well, yeah, what is that? Where does that come from? He's mevatel himself altogether before society. In terms of how people dress and how people talk, that's what he says. This is a false humility. Sha'ish botel of ne'olam v'nimusav. Maruch umoiker hu harbeis nimuse ha'olam. He values and treasures the nimusim, the mannerisms of society. That he values very, very much. That he values very, very much. If you'll have a guy that he can't say bracha, he doesn't daven, he can't sit down to learn, But if he'll go into a store in Borough Park in Williamsburg and some fella doesn't say, have a nice day, he'll say, could you believe it? Do you see this guy? A chazer. This guy doesn't know how to talk. He doesn't have to talk because he, you know, I'm not saying that it's right not to say have a nice day. It's, you should say have a nice day, but he doesn't know how to talk. But you don't see that you yourself, you don't know how to talk to the Rabbi Shalom. Are you careful? The chalal with mitzvah ben al chavero. What about your learning? What about how you talk to your wife, to your children? The only thing that bothers him is that this guy doesn't say, have a nice day. He doesn't say, have a nice day. Why? Well, he's not a ben olam hazeh. He's uncivilized. He's barbaric. All the nimusim of this world, of how to dress. Somebody, I was with somebody recently who absolutely went crazy because there's a certain group of chassidim that a lot of them wear their shirt out. I don't know why. I never really looked into it. It's not my cup of tea, and they're great guys, and I just don't know why they wear their shirt out. Maybe there's something I don't know that's going on. I don't know. But they wear their shirt out. So this guy like went crazy about wearing his shirt. How come he wears his shirt out? What is this disgusting? It's bizyonis. So I said to him, you know, it's not so nice, and I wouldn't like my kid to wear a shirt out. But that's what bothers you, not like, you know, people wearing eye rings, nose rings, teeth rings. That's not bothering you. And it doesn't bother you that every single thing that you do is just an imitation, some impersonation of somebody on television that you think your wife is going to like and admire, or the lady at work. That doesn't bother you. The only thing that's in your life that's upsetting you is that there's some little bocher that wears his shirt out. This is what's upsetting you. So this whole hanhaga, this whole way of thinking to be marich and moike. Look at the way society is enamored by celebrities. Society is enamored by wealth and by fame. Why? Because this is what people are marach, this is what they're moiki, this is what they value, this is what they see. So, and they say, look, what I think is really, really is important. Listen, my opinions are not so chashuv. I'm not the trendsetter. It's not up to me what's important. That's what he says. Maruch Amoyki Waharbe is Nemuse Ha'ilam Vedeus B'nei Ha'adam Adshu Karea Kulul of Fame. He bows down completely before society's expectations. He bows down completely. He's Karea, he's Meshtachave in front of society. Whatever society expects of him, he doesn't have the strength. Like Avraham Avinu, right? Who's Ha'ivri, to stand on one side of the world, Me'aver, and the whole world's on the other. He doesn't have the strength to say. Or like the servant of Avraham Avinu, who said, Eved Avraham Anoichi, I am a servant of Avraham. That's the, right, I've said it many times in Shul, that when Eliezer said, I am Eved Avraham Anoichi, what he's saying was, listen, I don't care what you guys do over here. In other words, so what they're saying, Lavan is saying, and the minig here is to lie and to steal and to cheat. That's the minig. That's the minig I'm welcome over here. So he says, Eved Avraham Anoichi, I don't care what you guys do. I don't care. This is who I am. I'm an Eved Avraham. And all that means, and all that means that we're kareyu mishtachave in our levush and how we talk and how we act. You catch yourself at work where there are a group of people and you're sitting down and you're having some sort of a discussion, and they're using lashonis, they're using a certain type of language, or they're talking about certain things that you yourself know that you never ever would speak about with your children. You'd be embarrassed if your children would see you there talking that way. And then you find yourself on some level participating and making certain cracks, making certain jokes, using a crass humor. But b'chlal, why are you doing that? Because you're kareya mishtachve, because you're bowing down to the, you know, you don't have, and that's false humility. You don't have enough confidence in yourself and who you are and what you believe in to be able either to say, this is stupid, stop talking this way, or just to find a different chavra, to walk away. You don't have enough confidence, A, in yourself as a Jew, and B, be talking to the Baruch Shalom that you'll still be able to make a living if you don't tell a dirty joke with the rest of the guys. He won't be able to make... How am I going to... And if a young guy comes in, let's say some frum guy comes into the place where you're working, some real frum guy, and you see that he's like on the side, when they say these things, he turns red, he walks away, and you're a veteran, you put an arm around him, he says, listen, I know you're a Shiva Bocher, it's tough, but you're not going to make it, buddy. You know, you really got to... You know, I know it's terrible, but I hate to tell this to you, but you really, you know, in order to get along, you're going to have to, on some level, participate. Yeah, you know, this is right. The real world. You're going to have to participate. Right? Instead of what you should be saying is, you know, Baruch Hashem, you're here. I found a man of my own heart. Let's make a chavrusa together. Right? We could have 15 minutes to learn some Mishnayos. Instead, listen, you teach this little bocher the way of life, right? So you're telling him also to eat from Nesha Das Toivera. Yeah? Right, right. I had a similar situation. It's interesting, this student just called me the other day. I haven't heard from her in around 18 years. When there's a problem in that book, then I remember when she first graduated high school, so she went to study pharmacy, pharmaceuticals, I don't know what you call it. Drug stuff. She went to St. John's to have a chashuva, in St. John's to have a chashuva program. So she was there in September, and she called me up like after 2 weeks that she was very upset. What she's so upset? In every single classroom, there's a yazla hanging. Every single room, there's a crucifix. But a crucifix mit the mamza, not on the mamza. You know, with it, like a chashuva one. And it upset her. She's a Jewish girl, Talmudistic girl, and she sits in the class, and this guy's hanging over there in the back of the room. And it bothered her a lot. So I said the same thing to her. I said, no. I said to Tova, halavai, it should bother you in January, it should bother you in June, you know? And you shouldn't get used to it. And when I met her, because she had a little sister that was in school, so she came later on for some parents-teacher thing with the kid. So I said, no. So how's it going? It's great. So then and in the course of conversation, you know, she got used to it, and it's not so bad, and she has to sometimes, you know, study with somebody that's... Okay, so there's a whole style. So thank God she married a Jewish boy, but at one point it came very close to that not happening. At the beginning, when she was going out with somebody, when she first was in college. So, yeah, that a person should say, Eved Avraham Anochi, and to have confidence in who he is and what he believes in.
In
that letter of Huttner said that there's a difference between an expanded life and a double life. If the essence of your life is Torah, if that's who you are, and everything revolves around who you are, who you really are, you're right, Shimon, it's a good point, then it's not a double life, then you don't have to worry. But if you're going to be a different person in each place, with each person, he gave the example of somebody who has a one-bedroom apartment in New York and a one-bedroom apartment in Miami. So he says, that's a double life. But if you have a two-bedroom apartment in New York or in Miami, just in one place, and everything revolves around that, that's an expanded life. But the difference is that everything is in one place. So that Jew whose entire life is seen through the eyes of Torah mitzvahs, and he doesn't bend down, he doesn't submit, he doesn't bow to society, so his entire life is an expanded life. He might look, you know, many people would say about that person, you're really so narrow-minded. You're so narrow-minded. and the response to that would be, this is who I am. You don't like it, so you don't have to like it. But we're not we're afraid of that. We're so afraid of somebody not liking us. We're so afraid of not being appreciated. We're so insecure that we're so insecure with ourselves as people. There's a lot of baggage that's connected to that, and we're insecure with ourselves as Yidden, as Jews. We're insecure, so we're constantly in these situations where we have to compromise. There's a level of compromise. I'm not saying that one should stick it in someone's face, and you don't have to go to work with your tits hanging out. But you know, you have to ask a rav, and you have to ask a posik, and you have to and what's seichel and the way to go. There are piskei halachas from tzaddikim, from gedolim about how to go work. It doesn't mean we're supposed to make a scene. But afal pichin, then it comes to a situation where you find yourself it's not a question anymore of tucking your tits in. Or of trimming, you know, a beard or payas, but we're talking about making real compromises and how you talk and how you relate, and that many men have told me over the years that if their wives would see how flirtatious they are sometimes at work, and not with God forbid that they would ever do anything, chas v'chalila, but there's a loose way of talking in the office, they said that the wives would leave them. They wouldn't believe it, that they talk in such a loose way. And the teretz is, I would never do anything. I would never do anything. But listen, I have to succeed. I have to be successful. What would you say what do you say when you hear about a model that the way that she was able to become successful is because Nebuch, she had to go with every single every single man along the way, right? You would say, what's the matter with you? Come on, put yourself together and have some self-respect. What's so different? And in her world, she's bowing down to certain expectations and she's submitting because in order to succeed. You don't respect that. I don't respect that. We feel upset when we hear such a thing, when a person compromises on what he believes in order to succeed. And yet we might be doing that ourselves all the time in much more subtle ways, right? Much, much more, infinitely more subtle ways. But we're doing that. Are we living up to Shulchan Aruch? Are we living up to what we truly believe is the way that a Jew should live in this world? Or are we trying to appease everybody? Trying to make everybody happy, which is not going to work. That's what he says over here. He's Maruch Amayku who harbeis nemusa oilam v'deyos b'nei ha'odam ad shu kareh kula l'chaim. He bows down. V'chol atzmas liboy v'nav shu b'teilam v'nemesim. The very essence of his heart begins to, and his soul begins to melt and to become completely, you know, to become completely enamored and completely given over to society's mannerisms and expectations. V'einam boim klali de his galus. So you wonder, why can't this guy daven in a heartsick way? Why can't he daven with his heart? Why can't he learn with his heart? Why is it that even with his kids, he's not 100% sincere? His kids don't see sincerity in him. The kids see that when he davens, it's so insincere. They see when he talks to people, he's not sincere, right? Why can't he be sincere? Now the terrace is because he's never megala his heart and he's not in touch at all with his heart and with his soul. He's not in touch because his whole life has become one great act of deception. He's just an Academy Award winner. That's it. His whole life is an act. So then when you tell him, listen, buddy, it's davening now. You're standing here with God. You could drop this. You could drop this show. This is real. He doesn't know how to do it. You know, when you're acting for so many years, you just forget how to be real. You can't. Because he's never megala his nefesh in his life. He's never talking to anybody with his heart. What, at work, he's talking to his boss with his heart. If he ever talked with his heart, he would tell his boss to drop dead. So he never talks with his heart. He never talks with his nefesh. Everything is always with the cheshbon. Everything is always fakrumt. Everything is always, what does this one think? What does this one say? So when it comes to davening, you expect him to be sincere. He doesn't know how to talk anymore in a way that's sincere. He doesn't know how to talk. And the wife says, you know, honey, how come you can't ever tell me a nice word? Well, and he says, but I love you. He said, but you never talk about it. He doesn't know how to talk about what's on his heart. And he does love her. But he can't express it. Because his whole life has been one great Academy Award winning act. So if you don't speak mit den Herz, if you don't speak with the lev, if that's not your language, after time you become uncomfortable and feel very silly even trying to do that. So then when it comes to davening, you know, when it comes to davening, you see some like, you know, Baal Tshuva, you know, davening up a storm, and you think, wow, you know, it's embarrassing. You know, it's embarrassing. The guy's like making, you know, what's going on over there? It's embarrassing. That's not embarrassing. He's talking with his heart, and he doesn't care. So you might think it's funny. I'm not saying to make a scene. I'm not in favor of that whole, you know, to being demonstrative and making that everybody has to see that you. But you see a guy's ernst. You see he's sincere. So you think, you know, what's the matter with the guy? What's wrong? Right? He's sincere, and we've grown accustomed to being insincere. This is what the Rebbe's cross. So therefore, you're not megala yalev. Your heart is not revealed. You live a life where your heart is constantly covered, because your cheshbon is, if I reveal my heart, I'm not going to succeed. I'm not going to succeed in life. The kol kach menumas hu min nimusa ha'olam. The Rebbe says he is so perfectly groomed. He is so menumas in the musa ha'olam, and he's so completely adapted to society's expectations and perspective. That's the point. He has lost a complete way of evaluating what's right and wrong, what's good and evil. He's forgotten what's right and what's wrong. He's forgotten. Right? That's why, you know, in shul, how many times, and I always make a disclaimer, and I think 1,000 times, and then the end, you know, I say anyway what I'm feeling. But you know, you talk to people, say, Rabbi Shalom, if you go over to people in a modern Orthodox situation, so to speak, and you tell them, do you think it's so right necessarily to spend a half hour talking to somebody else's wife? Do you think that's right? By schmoozing, like, you know, with some kiddush and, you know, hanging out. Please forgive me, this is with the chabura, so I feel that I, and maybe 1,000 other people, but at least, you know, to try
at least a little bit. It's Hanukkah, no? So Hanukkah candles are shining. It's, you know, you can't lie. Pashut, you can't lie. Mechitay, so who said that that's right? And if somebody tells you, "Man, you know, that's not right," where is it saying Shulchan Aruch such a thing that you could hang out in? Kalamar besich, yeah, well, mar besich doesn't mean me, it doesn't mean her, right? Altar besich amisha doesn't mean her. So you come up with this convoluted narishkeit, and then some frump guy will say, "It says, well, I'll show you what it says this in Pirkei Avos, and I'll show you all the mefarshim, and I'll show you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I'll show you 10,000 shuvas, Nagi Huduch Sam Seifer, Shailam Meshev, all about this Indian." Oh, no, listen, come on. What are you coming to me with the 18th century? This is the 21st century. You have to be a servant. You have to act a certain way. This is all convoluted narishkeit. It's a lie. We're Jews. We live according to the Shulchan Aruch. That's how we live since Kabbalah Satara. What are you talking about? Who said you could talk with a person like that? Who said you could let down your guard in such a way and just be so loose and easy with an Eishes Ish? Mehechetayse. Where is that from? That's not from Torah. That's not from the Zayd and the Babi. That's not. I'm not saying the person shouldn't say good Shabbos and has the family and so on, or that a person should be an achzori, should act like he aloof. But certainly the other extreme. Where does it come from? And if somebody tells you otherwise, you say he's a chnyok. Like he's crazy. He's an extremist. He's an extremist. He's not an extremist. It's open seifim and Shulchan Aruch.
What happens if you were friendly with that person for many years? You grew up together.
So,
married.
Yeah, it's an uncomfortable situation. What should I say? It's uncomfortable. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. You're right, Binyam, it's uncomfortable. And I've had situations like this. No, I grew up in that same society. And over the years, so quietly, I didn't say, hello. I decided from now on I'm going to be very religious and I'm not talking to you anymore. Because that's Benod L'Chavero, that's Bizyonis, and that's not how a Jew acts and that's not how a Jew talks. So I did, but if you don't call anymore, it's like slowly, a little bit over time, people get the message and they go on with life, But I'm just giving you this as an example of how men and women will conduct themselves in such a way that if someone tells you otherwise, you look at them like they're from Sodom. You look at them like they're from Sodom. The Chofetz Chaim would walk in. Can you imagine the Chofetz Chaim walking in with his little boot and caps into one of these situations? With everybody, with their little skirts and their shtadi little suits and schmoozing on and the Chofetz Chaim would walk in. See, first of all the ladies would stop pulling this, like in school, they stop pulling their skirts to try to get. Let me see if I can get that down to the knees over there, right? And everybody starts buttoning up, and all the men start to walk away from the ladies, right? Why? Why? If you believe in that, why can't you stand right there in front of the Chofetz Chaim with your little skirt and with your new little boyfriend? Why can't you stand in front of the Chofetz Chaim that way? Haskama v'kama, if we'd be honest and we live, we're standing before the master of the world, but we don't think that way. Because this is what we do. Who? Who made this up that we do this? Where is it written that we do this? Where is it written? In good housekeeping? In better homes and gardens? This is where it's written. So this is what's become of us, and if you talk about it, you're a meshugan, you're an extremist. But it's just the emes. That's all. It's talking with the lev, with the nefesh. That's why, God forbid, when a person goes through a tragedy, and their heart is yanked out because they're broken over someone that's died that they love, then all of a sudden they understand this halacha, they understand that halacha, they realize that there's something else, and so on. They begin to think, what happened? Well, what? All of a sudden you became so ernst, so sincere. That's right. So when your heart is revealed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more revealed, and you feel His presence. The only thing is that when the Chofetz Chaim walks into the room, that's like the Rebbeinu Shlomo walking into the room. So that's like all of a sudden, uh-oh, right? Then we get nervous. So when, God forbid, there's a tragedy, so a person feels, I'm lost without Hashem. And once a person is sincere and can admit, I'm lost because I can't get up tomorrow morning because I'm so broken without this person, I'm totally lost. So I have nobody that I could turn my heart towards except the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So all of a sudden, the heart comes out. And there's a sincerity that they haven't met in years. So then at that point, all these silly little social niceties in their eyes become absurd, become ridiculous. They themselves see it in that way. That's how it is in life. But it's Rachmanis that we have to wait until something like that happens to be sincere. Instead of working on our pashtus and our sincerity, our tamimus, on good days, at good times. But that's the nature of a person. So he says, that he doesn't have any more chush, l'das ma toiv u'mara. He doesn't bechlal know to say what's right from what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. U'ma olav lasos. What should he do? He doesn't know anymore. What am I supposed to do in life? U'mimal lihimonei. And what am I supposed to avoid in life? What should I stay away from? Everything to decide what is right and what is wrong, what is good and evil. How does he measure it? He measures it with the measuring stick of the world, of People Magazine, of the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. That's his definition of what's good and what's evil. Rebbe Yosef could say something in Yerushalayim, and that's not anywhere as important to him as, did you see today's editorial in the New York Times? It's not anywhere as important to him As some old Talmud Chacham sitting in, someplace in Meir Sharm. What does he know about the world? What does he understand about politics and so on? But the editorial in the New York Times, that's Kaveya. This comes from we Poshut don't know anymore what's right and what's wrong. We make decisions and we look at reality through the eyes of the world. Masha Tayyid Beinei Ha'olam Tovu. Whatever the world considers to be good, that's good. And if people are going to criticize him and make fun of him and mock him, then that's bad. That's bad. Then that's something which is wrong. So now the Rebbe gives a big, you can imagine him screaming. He says, Adarabba. What does it mean, Adarabba? Pumfaket. It's just the opposite. Adarabba. Titzayir bedaitecha. Always envision in your mind, concentrate and think. Whenever you do anything or have to make any decision, and bechlal at the beginning to get used to doing this all of the time, envision, think, imagine. If you are the only person on earth, and therefore none of your actions are going to affect anybody. It's not for anybody, not for the boss. Not for the friends, not for the guys in shul, whatever. It's not for anybody. Lo l'shum pniya tiyena, and therefore there's no external reality, no pniya, there's nothing external to bow down to. It's not here. There's nothing here. And the kol shekein shalit is batal atas atzmecha lifnei ha'olam. There's no reason for you. There's no reason for you to be mevatel yourself, to make yourself nothing before society, because society doesn't exist. There is no society. There is no one evaluating you to see whether you're this or you're that. There's nobody. There are no longer any laws and manners and shtusim, narishkeit, stupidity, havolim, foolishness of the world. And now think. So think of this. Think of yourself as being alone. And then think, he says, live as if your actions, this is an interesting thing, he comes back to this a few times, live as if your actions are the repayment of a loan. What does that mean, as if your actions are the repayment of a loan? It's the right thing to do. The Baruch Shalom gave me this and gave me that, and my actions, I have to, it's not because they're going to look at me like I'm this. No, there's nobody here to look at you anymore. This is how you have to think. Simple. There's a loan. The Rosh Hashanah lent you, he loaned you a guf, and he gave you this neshama, and he gave you all that you have, and all that you could ever have. You have to repay that loan. That's all. It's pashtus. Tamimus. It's not like you get a yeshakayach, that you got up in the morning, that you put on tefillin. Shakayach. You have to simply repay the loan. You have to work. You have to do what you're supposed to do. Do what's the right thing to do, like repaying the loan. It's the right thing to do. Not that it's a taiva, not that they're going to think like this or think like that, but you must do it because you owe it. Even when you do a favor now, you're back, you're in the world, there are other people. So you're going to do a taiva for somebody. Even when you do a taiva for another person, Gamkein hakol kidei lefroya chayvcha. you don't look at it, well, I'm such a great guy. What will he think of me? What will he think of me? Maybe, you know, they're going to honor me, the family, who knows what. No. Even when you do a type of another person, you have a chiyuv to do that. That's your achrayus. That's a loan that you're repaying. The Baruch Shalom is good to you, and you do what you can to help others. There's no complicated cheshbon here. Shechayiv alecha lahetiv mchaverecha. It's a chayiv that you have to be meitiv, that you have to be good to another Jew. Loy l'shem kavon of a tachlis chutz mimcha, not because of some external tachlis. If I'm good to him, he'll be good to me. If I'm good to him, then the family will look at me, his family will see me in a certain way, and maybe in the future it'll come in handy. All these cheshbonos that he says, that's what he's upset about. They're always getting lost in all these cheshbonos. It's not a cheshbon that somehow, how will this work out for me? It's because it's the right thing to do. It's because it's the right thing to do. It's what you have to do. It's the right thing to do. Min dechifa pnimis yesh shedoicha ischa. There's an inner force that is pushing you. Vaymeris and says to you, Kach ata mitzuva. This is what you're commanded. Not how this appear, but this is what you must do. V'chein ata tzorech lasos, and this is what you have to do. Vim targul as atzmecha chein tamid. If you exercise, and you constantly, you're always thinking in this way, you try to think in this way, Oz eventually says, Tesgala libcha v'nafshecha v'ratzayn atzmi. Eventually, what will be revealed is your own heart and your own nefesh and your own independent will, not the will of others, but your own independent will be revealed after time, after a long period of time of thinking this way, of being alone in the world, trying to imagine how would I act if there's no one watching me. In other words, how would I respond? What would I do if there was no one measuring or evaluating this? What do I know to be the truth? And act upon it. Not because it's going to impress anybody, or that this is going to cause other people to find me distasteful. Act upon it, knowing that this is the halacha, and this is the repayment of a loan, of a debt, to the one who created you, to the one who created the universe. So, if you think this way, over time, you will begin to be a more sincere person. You'll find yourself more sincere. And then when you daven, you'll also be able to be straight. And when you learn, you'll be able to be straight. V'argoshes chayiv shelo b'chol dover. V'chol ma'asecha, machshavaisecha, and all of your actions and your thoughts, v'dibarech and your words, you meleim nefesh, will be filled with nefesh. Nefesh doesn't mean that you're going to be like screaming and yelling. It'll be filled with truth. It'll be filled with who you are. It'll be you. It'll be completely you. And there'll be nothing extraneous. There'll be nothing false and dishonest. Will be filled with the strength of the nefesh that's mispashet, that bekibucha, that penetrates and takes over everything about you. Voimer, and it tells you this inner truth of who you are begins to talk to you and say gadel v'asei, grow and do the right thing, and go in the right way. Tia eved Hashem. Be a servant of Hashem in everything that you do. In everything that you do, whether it's at work, whether it's when you're on vacation, be an Eved Hashem every moment of your life, because that's what your heart is telling you. So this is one minyan. So the first obstacle to sincerity is being bottled to the world. There is another natural minia obstacle to a person becoming more tmeimizdik. Upaygemes oisai shiyeramai loy ritzini, and this affects you in such a way that you become a ramai, you become a cheater, loy ritzini, an insincere cheater, a liar, beloy leiv and beloy nefesh, without heart and without soul. Min machlehi mi machles hadas. Here he says there is something it's no different than any other type of emotional illness. There's a certain type of an insanity. The Rebbe says there's a sickness. There's an insanity in the world.
Shenis aklo nafshay lebilti leleches yeshara. Rak ba'okum posel v'sofuch. He says like this. There is such a metzias in the world. There's such a sickness in the world where a person in everything that he does is crooked. He's crooked. It's beyond the point of even trying to impress people. There's a machlum, a machlus and nefesh. The guy can't be straight. He's just not straight. Listen, he explains. Like a person who's emotionally ill because of nerves and so on, he's having a breakdown. Now, if you're sitting with somebody, God forbid, who's emotionally ill, who's in the midst of a nervous breakdown, and you're trying to talk to him, straight. What are you worried about? There's no big deal. What are you getting so nervous about? What are you falling to pieces? I'll help you out. Nothing's going to happen to you. It's not going to work. It doesn't work. Because the guy's whole, he has a machla. Right? We were talking with the family the other day, Nabuch, about so many of the girls that the anorexia, this terrible, terrible problem of anorexia. So the children were saying, but Daddy, the girl sees that she's skinny. She looks in the mirror, she's skinny. So what do you mean? Why is she still killing herself? So, to explain, but that's the problem. The problem is that's the machla. The machla, she doesn't see things. She doesn't see things in the way. She no longer is able to see things in an accurate way. She doesn't see herself in the mirror as being skinny. She sees herself as being fat and ugly. I don't understand that whole machla, and obviously there's much more to it. I mean, it's being very simplistic and stupid. But just trying to talk to myself and the kids, that's a machla. Not to see yourself in the... You don't see yourself in a real way. As the doctor, well, you should weigh. It's a healthy, nice weight for this time of... And your height and your frame at this time of life. And you see that you're thin. No. And you can't reason with a person. You can't reason with a person. There is such a machli, he says, in the world. A person who's going through this terrible period of, God forbid, of a nervous breakdown, he can't see things in a way that's straight. that this, his ability to see things in a tamimistic way, in a real and sincere and clear way, has become so convoluted and distorted that it just is min shigonhu. It's like an insanity. It's a sickness. It's a wound of the mind. And other people, when they look at this person, when you have a sincere Jew, a sincere person, a person that looks at things in a straight way, when he sees this other person, he sees him as a totally, as a liar, as a dishonest, it's a machla. There's a machla like this, and an honest person looks at this individual and sees it that to one degree or another, you're totally off.
What's an example of anorexia?
A what?
Besides anorexia, what's an example
of? I mean, any person that is suffering from whatever type of emotional disorder. So you try to explain the person, let's say a person is afraid of heights, right? A person's afraid of heights. So you'll explain to them 1,000 times that this is completely safe, and look, and over the last 50 years, you should never say there's only been one fatality, right? Over the last 50 years, only been one. So, you try to explain, has an airplane work? So he's an airplane, so his airplane's going to go down.
An example of Avodas Hashem.
No, he right. So first, I'm just giving emotional mehi alma from this world. How this affects one's Avodas Hashem. Let's go. So he's going to talk about it. So on page 39. So he says we have to daven. It's we should daven, huh? Right. Yeah. So when do we daven? It's 7. We have to start at 7 because I know because I'm at what? Right. We'll have to start maybe diving a little bit up here then, because Lema'isa, the diving is a little bit longer. They're up to laning now, so that means they have another 10 minutes.
another 10 minutes. All right, so let's learn for another 2-3 minutes, and then maybe we'll bring Talson film, and we'll have to start. I mean, I have to get to school. I don't know what you're holding. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Reuven is the only guy that comes to New York. He left Florida to come to relax in the snow. Yeah. All right. So he says, Sibas Machlazu, the cause of this illness, Kva Amr HaGemara. Now, what's the cause of this illness? These are the symptoms. The symptoms, the guy's mom is fakrum. The guy can't see things in a straight way. You talk to him, you say, and you know, this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And you said, you went to yeshiva? Yeah, you know what it says here in the Ramah? Let's read it together. This is what it says in the Ramah. Right? Also, right? Says in the Ramah. You got it? What does it say? And he'll say it over to you. Right? Let's look at the Shach, let's look at the Taz. Look at the Shach, look at the Taz. Okay. You got it? That's what it says? Yeah. Are you going to do that? No. No. Why not? Because I saw this rabbi that doesn't do that. And it's not no gay anymore. You know, it's not good. And that's a machla. It's a machla. You would send it to somebody that wasn't taking his medicine. If you had shown him the book, it says here that if you have this illness, you have to take this 3 times a day. If you don't, you're going to die. Does it say that? Yeah. You're taking the pill? No. You're going to die. No. I know somebody that lived. I know somebody with my machla that he lived. You have a person that's addicted to smoking.
I don't want
to, therefore. Yeah, right? Smoking. What kind of thing is that? It's an absolute shigaon. It's an insanity. You want to say 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 40 years, that, but it's now, yeah, it's an insanity. And yet, and you'll tell a person, you know, that could cut down your life 10 years. You say, so I live 110. So, you know, it's like an instant insanity. Don't you want you? What about seeing, spending time? Do you want to miss some grandchildren? You're just going to get to that time in life. You're going to be able to have some nachas and to enjoy and to relax a little bit, and then you're going to be coughing yourself into the grave. It's an insanity. So it's such a shigon that the person poshut can't. The person, and you'll talk to him, and you know it doesn't help. You'll take out every study that's been made, and he says that's for Yenim, that's for me. So it's not me, it's to him. It doesn't affect me. This is a shigoin. So where does this come from? So we can't get into this right now, just to bring it up, and we'll continue next time. The Rebbe says, Sibas machla zu kva amr ha-gemara. Chazal taught Shabbatole mivia lidei shimum. He says an amazing thing here. Chazal tell us that idleness, boredom. Idleness means you're not busy. You're not into things. I mean, it doesn't mean you don't go to work, but you're not into things. Idleness brings, he says, maybe they shimum here, it brings to distraction, to boredom. But then from there, it gets worse. It gets much worse. Midiyuk haloshen shimum v'lo shigon, echad mimine shigon hu. He says that this lashon that Chazal use, shimum, distraction, they don't use the word shigon, that you look like, that you become like a lunatic. Because really, this person appears to be normal. You know, I was giving extreme examples of anorexia or of, God forbid, depression or severe anxiety. But like we're talking about someone that appears to be 100% normal. And yet everything is crooked. He can't look at things in a straight way. So it doesn't say that there's a shigaon that sets in. It begins with idleness that leads to what? There's the root and source to distraction. Distraction. Now, what happens to that distraction and how eventually that distraction from the truth that comes from idleness leads a person deeper and deeper into self-deception and self-destruction, into the lie. That's we're going to talk about, Mitzvah Shem. We'll continue with next time. In the meantime, let's try to be as honest as we can, right? Okay, Hanukkah.